Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Zvachim Pei Tes. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn to the top of Daf Pei Tes, we notice a new Mishnah, which represents the beginning of the 10th perek. The Nosei heading, you notice in the outside margin of our Mark Gemaras, topic headings that we supply, and structural notes called Mivne. In this case, the Nosei is Hatodir Kodem. That which is more frequent takes precedence. When you are confronted with the possibility of offering several different sacrifices, we opt to give precedence to the type of sacrifice that is brought on a more regular basis. You'll notice there's another Mishnah on this daf. In the middle of the daf, the Mishnah there deals with Kol HaMekudosh Mechavero Kodem Mechavero, that which is more that which has a higher level of sanctity will take precedence. So in the meantime, we'll deal with we'll call it a competition between different types of sacrifice that are on the same sanctity level, but one having a greater frequency than the other. The Mishnah, Kol HaTodir Mechavero Kodem Eschavero, that which is more frequent than the other will take precedence. The Mishnah provides several examples. HaTmidim Kodemim LeMusafin, the Tumid is the daily sacrifice that's offered in the morning, and it's an Olah sacrifice that's offered one in the morning and one in the afternoon. That comes before the Musafim, which are korbanos that are brought, or the word Musaf literally has to do with additional, the additional korbanos that are brought on special holidays, including Shabbos. Musfei Shabbos Kodemin Mila Musfei Rosh Chodesh. If you have Rosh Chodesh that falls out on Shabbos, then you'll have a special musaf for Shabbos and a musaf for Rosh Chodesh. You will slaughter and process the Shabbos musaf before the Rosh Chodesh musaf. Musaf Rosh Chodesh kodmin musfei Rosh Hashanah. Shenemar, the pasuk that appears in the case of musafin says, Milvad oilas haboiker, besides the Olas HaBoker, which was already done, Asher Le'olas HaTamid, that's brought as the Tamid, Ta'asu Es Eila, you will do these. These are reference to the Musafin. So that you see that the Olas Tamid, the Tamid was done already, as the Pasuk says, and it is saying that besides that which you've done already, the Olas HaTamid, do the Musaf. The Gemara opens with a rather peculiar question. Minolon, from where do we know that Kol HaTodir Mechavero Kodem Eschavero? So, to that, the Gemara asks, what are you asking that for? Minolon Kideko Omar Taimo Milvad Oilas HaBoker. The Mishnah itself just cited the source for that the Tomid is done before the Musaf. So the Gemara responds why it was asking in the first place. Dilma Tamidim Hain de Kodmu the Musafin Mishum de Tadiri. It could be that it is the Tamid specifically that comes before the Musaf, because they, the Tamidim are brought every day. So the fact that it's brought every day, that gives its frequency significance. However, Musafin the Musafin Minolan, from where do we know that the Musaf of one type of day will take precedence over the musaf of another type of day? Musaf is, in other words, a competition for primacy between musafin. For example, we have Musaf of Shabbos should take precedence over the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh. That you don't see, necessarily, in the first reading of the Pasuk that was cited. The Pasuk emphasized only the Korban Tumid taking precedence. Before we go further, you'll notice that we have some markings. So, on the outside margin, we have a Nosei and Mivneh heading that offers some explanations. We've provided a Roman numeral number 1 and 2 to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara. These represent Makoros de Amrinon de Todir Koidem Bechol HaKorbonos V'lo Rak Batomid Shel Shachar. Two approaches or sources that will suggest that the concept of Tadirus, of frequency, applies to all sacrifices and not limited to the daily morning Korban Ola. We'll be using this trapezoid or volcano form as a Ma'akav. As you can see, that's also featured in our comment on the outside margin. Ma'akav means an attempt to keep track of a back and forth type discussion, a give and take. With the narrow portion of this symbol facing upwards, that will represent a response, an answer. With the narrow part facing downwards, that will represent a question. So at this point, we want to know Musafin the Musafin Minalon. Omar Rabbi Allah, the Omar Kro, Ko'ele Ta'asu Layoim Shivas Yomim. This is a Pasuk in Bamidbar Perik Chav Ches, Pasuk Chav Dalin. We recommend you are looking at a series of Psukim from Pasuk Tes Vav through Pasuk Chav Dalin. From this Pasuk, we are to derive that the concept of Tadirus applies not only to the Olas Tomid over a Musaf, but with between other Musafim as well. The Gemara asks, well, Vahai Miboyale Lugufei. This Pasuk is needed not for a general teaching, but simply to tell me that the 7 days of the holiday require a Musaf. The previous Pasuk would have told me only the first day. So this Pasuk is to tell me about the need for a Musaf for each day of the holiday, Shivas Yomim. So it's not available to teach about frequency, that which is has higher frequency takes precedence within Musafin. So the Gemara answers, Im Kain, Nichtoiv, Eile, Ta'asu, Layoim. The Pasuk really says, Ko'ele, Ta'asu, Layoim. But if it was only Legufe, it would have said, Eile Tasu Layom. So the Gemara says, no, that wouldn't have been an option. E Kosav Eile Tasu Layom Shivas Yomim. I would have had an incorrect conclusion. I would have thought, Have Amino Eile L'Shivas Hayomim. Namely, that the 7 sheep that the Torah talks about in these psukim are to be divided amongst 7 days, namely 1 sheep per day, which is not the case. But rather, there are 7 sheep that are offered each on each day. So the Gemara says, no, I wouldn't have had that incorrect Havamina. The Pasuk accounts for the 7 per day, Layoim Ksiv. It does say Layom. So at this point then, with the narrow portion facing up, we would have an answer to our basic question that the original pasuk of that was cited here in this section, Ko'ele Tasu Layom Shivas Yomim, could serve as our source. The Gemara says, but still, we're not home free. Ve'akati, but still, Emo, I might have said, Ele Layom, that the 7 are for the first day. Alone, avol shar yomi lo yadano kama. But the other days, I wouldn't know how many. So, the pasuk is not available to teach me the concept of tadirus, but rather it's to teach me the number of musafim that you need each day. The Gemara says, "No, omar kro ta'asu." as far as what you need for each day, that's learned from the word tasu, shukolo asuyos shavos, that the type of korbanos that you bring on each day, as far as the kvosim are concerned, the same seven that you have to bring on the first day, you bring each day. Therefore, the ko'ele, ko'ele tasu, the ko'ele posuk that was cited at the beginning of this section, ko'ele, is available to teach me the concept of tadirus between musaf and musaf. As we said earlier, if you have the musaf of Shabbos and the musaf of Rosh Chodesh, you would offer the musaf of Shabbos first. Abaye Omar, Abaye represents a second approach for a source that we say tadirus takes precedence amongst all sacrifices. Abaye says, Migufa dekra, from the pasuk itself of Milvad Oilas HaBoiker that was cited in the Mishnah, we can account for the concept of precedence given to frequency, even with regard to other korbanos other than the Oilas HaTomid. The pasuk says, "Im kain lema kra milvad olas haboker v'tishtok." The pasuk, if it was talking only about giving precedence to the oilas hatomid, the daily tomid offering, then it would have simply said milvad oilas haboker and stopped there. The pasuk, however, goes on to say, "Asher l'oilas hatomid lomali." What do I need that additional expression? Lemeimar, the hach, the tadira tikdum, to tell me a general principle that which is more frequent takes precedence. The Mishnah, kol hamekudesh mechavero kodem es chavero, that which is holier than the next korban. If you have two korbanos and one is holier than the other, has a higher level of sanctity, that will take precedence over the next korban. And the Mishnah gives a rather long list of examples that the Gemara will refer to extensively, so that as we go along in the Mishnah, we'll see a minimum of 10, possibly 11 examples. Dam hachatos kodem ledam ho'ila mipnei shu meratze. If you have a sin offering and an ola offering, and you have the blood of each one of them, and it's ready. Each one is ready to be sprinkled on the altar. So the Mishnah tells us that you do the dam of the chatos before, because the dam of the chatos comes to meratze, to appease. Evore ola koymin leimure chatos. The limbs, if you have the limbs of a korban ola and the innards of a sin offering, the meat of the sin offering is distributed to the kohanim. So the only part of the sin offering that's offered on the mizbeach are the innards, as opposed to the ola, which is a type of korban whose entire body is put on the altar. So if you have evorei ola and Emurei Chatos, the Mishnah tells us that the Evorei Ola will take precedence over the Emurei Chatos, Mipnei Shehu Kolil Le'ishim, because the Ola is Kolil, completely Le'ishim, burnt, completely burnt. And that grants it a higher level of significance over the Chatos, which is not a type of sacrifice that's completely burnt, only the Emurim are burnt. One should note an interesting phenomenon here, that when it comes to the sprinkling of the bloods of these two korbanos, the chatos takes precedence. However, when it comes to the placing in the fire of the respective parts, the ola takes precedence. Chatos kedemes la'osham mitnei shedoma nitan al dalid kronos ve'al hayesoid. And a chatos takes precedence over an osham because the chatos has a more extensive blood application than the case of the Osham. The Chatos blood is placed on the four corners of the Mizbeach and on the base. Osham kodem letoido ve'alnozir mipnei shehu kodshei kodshim. The Osham korban will take precedence over a Toda offering and the shlomim that a nazir brings, the ale nazir, because the as opposed to the toida and ale nazir, the ashim is kodesh kodashim, high level sanctity korban, as opposed to the ale nazir and toida, which are classified as kochim kalim. Toida v'ale nazir kodmin l'shlomim. The toda and ale nazir will take precedence over a standard shlomim, mitnei shehein necholim liyoyim echad utunim lechem. The toda and ale nazir have a more limited time frame within which to eat them, giving them a higher level of significance. And in addition to the limited time frame, they also have a bread requirement, loaves that accompany them, as opposed to the shlomim, which doesn't have loaves. And the shlomim has a 2-day time period. Hashlomim kodmin the bechor. The korban shlomim will take precedence over a bechor, mipnei shehein teunin matan dalid usmicha unisachim utnufas chozer v'shok. The shlomim has its blood applied to the reaches 4 sides of the mizbeach. There are actually 2 physical applications, but in each application the blood splatters to the 2 sides. In other words, the 2 applications are done at the corners, at 2 corners of the mizbeach, and it thereby reaches each one 2 sides, namely for a total of 4 sides, and hence the reference in the Mishnah to Matan Dalet, 4 applications. It really means 2 physical applications reaching a total of the 4 sides of the Mizbeach. It also has Smicha, the placing of the hands on the head of the Korban, and an accompanying wine offering, the Nesachim, and a waving of the Chozer V'Shok parts of the Shlomim, which all of this is not the case with regard to a b'chor korban, the offering of the firstborn of an animal on the part when that's given to a kohen who eventually brings the b'chor to the Beis HaMikdash as a korban. Ha-b'chor koidem l'maiser, mitnei shekidushasoy meirechem v'nechal ha-kohanim. The b'chor takes precedence over the maiser behema offering because the b'chor is sanctified from birth, and it's eaten only by the kohanim. It has a restricted population, so to speak, and hence it has a higher level of sanctity. One notices an interesting phenomenon in general, that the greater the restriction, the higher the level of sanctity. And there's certainly a very deep, a profound message for all of life in that observation. Hamaiser koidem la'oifos, the maiser behema takes precedence over bird offerings, that neshuhu zevach, the maiser behema is slaughtered by a knife, that's a zevach, v'yeshboi kodesh kodoshan domoi ve'imurav. And in the offering of a zevach, even though the basic animal is a kochim kalim, nevertheless its blood and innards are viewed as kochei kochim. Ha'oifos koidmin l'menachas mitnei shehein minei domim. Birds take precedence over meal offerings because in the case of a bird offering there's a blood application. Minchas choitei koidem l'minchas nedava mitnei shehu bo al chet. A minchas choitei, the sin offering, the meal sin offering, takes precedence over the voluntary gift meal offering because it, the minchas chote, comes as a result of a sin, comes for atonement purposes. Pchatos ha'oif kodemes le'oilas ha'oif v'chein behekdesha. A bird sin offering comes before a bird ola offering, and likewise when a person has to make a dedication of these two kinds of bird offerings, he's to be makdish the chatos ha'oif before he's makdish the ola ha'oif. the Gemara at the top of Amud Beis asks, Mino Hanimili. From where do we know this? The Gemara at this point is searching for the opening two examples of the Mishnah. One is that Dam Chatos is done before the Dam Ola. That means the blood applications of a sin offering are to be done before the blood applications of an Ola offering. And the Evore Ola come before the Emure Chatos. The limbs of an Ola are placed in the fire on the top of the Mizbeach before the innards of a sin offering. So from where do we know all of this? This is all featured in our No Se heading that you see in the outside margin where we've written in Minolon de Dam Chatos Kevin Ledam Oila and Evore Ola Kodmin Lemure Chatos. The Gemara provides a Tanaic source, the Tanu Rabbanan. The Pasuk that is cited here is a Pasuk in Sefer Bamidbar that deals with sacrifices that were brought when the Levim were originally installed into office. Upar Sheni ben Bokor Tikach Lechatos. Ma Talmud Lomar. What is the role of this Pasuk that says the second cow will be brought as a chatos? Im lelameit shehein shnayim, if it's to teach that they were required to bring two sacrifices. Hare kvar ne'mar v'oso eso echod chatos v'eso echod oila. In that same parsha, there is another pasuk that accounts for the fact that they have to bring two sacrifices. Ma tamud lomar, then what is the role of the opening pasuk? Upar sheni ben bokor tikach lechatos. What is its role? So the Bryce answers, Sheyochel Sheychatos Kedemes Lechol Maisa Ola. I might have thought that a chatos takes precedence over an Ola in all areas. Talmud Lomar Upar Sheni Ben Bokor Tikach Lechatos. So the Pasuk declares that there are circumstances where the chatos takes the second position. I par sheni, if we're going to emphasize that the chatos is in a second position, are we to assume that an ola will take precedence over a chatos in all aspects? Talmud Lomar, therefore there's another pasuk that says, v'oso eso echod chatos v'eso echod ola. In this pasuk you'll notice that chatos is mentioned before the ola. That was pasuk that we saw cited above. So we have two psukim that have a certain contradictory ring to them. In one pasuk, the chatos is taking the second position, and in the other pasuk, the chatos is taking the first position. Ha ketzad, how do you resolve that? So we say, dam chatos, kodemes ledam oila, mipnei shemiratze. The blood of a chatos comes before the blood of the Ola, because the blood of the Chatos has an atomic capacity to it. However, when it comes to the Evorim, the limbs of an Ola, they will take precedence over the innards of a Chatos. Evore Ola v'chule. The Gemara asks, V'eimo matono komaisa demechapra tigdum v'hanochlo, that when you're dealing with the blood applications of the chatos and ola, we got finished saying that the chatos blood applications take precedence over the ola blood applications. And we offered a reason, and that is that the blood applications of the chatos offer atonement. But when you look into the issue of atonement, even though a chatos officially has four blood applications that are necessary, nevertheless, only the first one actually accomplishes the atonement. And the practical bearing of that is that if after the first blood application were done, let us say the blood spilled out, he would have achieved what he had to do. His basic requirement is the basic binding application when it comes to the chatos is one. So could it not be suggested that when it comes to these two bloods, you have Chatos and Ola, so it's only the first of the four applications of the Chatos that would take precedence over the Ola. And after you did an initial Chatos blood application, then turn your attention, turn your efforts to the Ola. And afterwards, finish off the Chatos. Why don't we say that? So we have two responses. Omar Ravina is number one. Hocho bechatos halavim askinon. The pasuk that serves as a source for chatos taking precedence over ola with regard to blood applications features a chatos that's brought by the levim on the day of their installment. The afalgav dechi oila domi ka'omar rachmona tikdim. That even though the chatos halavim, though it's called a chatos, is really not coming for atonement purposes. So the special feature of the chatos in this pasuk cannot be argued as being atoning. It's not coming to atone. And still, it's given precedence with regard to the blood application over the ola. And that's simply because of the fact that it has a shame chatos. It's called a chatos. And just like the Chatos HaLevim, some aspect of it takes precedence over the Ola. Not, we will therefore say not only the first blood application, because we're not focused anymore on the issue of achieving atonement. So not only the first blood application of this Chatos, of the Chatos, will take precedence, but all of the Matonos of the Chatos will take precedence over the Ola. B'marova Amri, in Eretz Yisrael, they explain, Hoyol v'hischil v'matonos gomer. They challenge the original suggestion. The original suggestion was, maybe after you do the first blood application of the chatos, then interrupt and pick up with the ola, and then continue the chatos later on. So in Marova they say, listen, once you did one blood application of the chatos, you are expected to finish them off before you turn your attention to the ola. As we go on in the Gemara, we all notice that we have a triangle that appears, and there's an appearance of several of these as we go along. These are explained in the outside margin under the Mivneh heading. You notice there is a triangle, and Ibai Alaho, in quotation marks, that's the phrase that's surrounded by the triangle. Sidra shel she'elois b'inyan kedima, a series of questions regarding giving precedence. Ibai Alaho, dam chatos v'evore oilo. The blood of a chatos versus limbs of an ola. Eze mehen kodem. Which should be taken care of first? The Gemara will present two sides of the question. Aleph, and you see Ol Dilma squiggle underlined. The Ol Dilma, or do you say, at Beis. Do you say this or that? In our markings, we use the squiggle underline. In addition to simple emphasis, we will use it when there are two possibilities or more of something being presented. In this case, there are two sides to the question. So, the first side, dam chatos koidem et meishimrat. So, do we say that the blood of the chatos should take precedence over the evori ola insofar as that the dam chatos comes to appease? Oidilmo evori ola koidem et meishahein kolil ishim. Or maybe we should give precedence to the limbs of the ola insofar as they are completely burned. Toshma, so the Gemara attempts to answer. But before we go on, let us just say a word about the style of the answer. The Gemara will bring a citation from the Mishnah and then try to draw an inference from the citation in order to answer the question. At which point the Gemara will say, well, if you're approaching things with inferences, you can actually draw an opposite inference if you look at the a later comment in the Mishnah. And the Gemara will conclude, as far as this matter is concerned, we can't prove anything with regard to this question from our Mishnah. This style will continue later to the second question as well, where the Gemara will try to answer it through an inference from one section, and then suggest, well, if you're learning that way, you can draw an opposite inference from a later citation, and therefore will come up with no conclusion for the second question as well. So we start the first question, Ibaya Laho, we raise the question, and we also presented the two possibilities, so let's pick up with the reading on the first wide line, Toshma. Dam chatos koidim ledam oila. That's what the Mishnah said, that blood of a chatos comes before the blood of an oila. Dam chatos hu dekodim ledam oila. We say it's the blood of the chatos that comes before the blood of the oila. Aval emurei chatos loi. But if you have, like our question suggests, blood of an oila versus emurei chatos, then we don't say that the dam, that the emure chatos would come first. Only blood of a chatos comes before blood of an ola, but not the emurim of a chatos. Rather, the dam of the ola would come before the emure chatos. That would be the conclusion if we were to pause here. However, the Gemara goes on and says, Adarabo, you can prove the opposite. Misefa, looking at the later clause. The later clause of the Mishnah is cited here, Evore Ola, Koidmin Lemure Chatos. The limbs of an Ola can take precedence over the innards of a Chatos. Evore Ola Hu Dekadmi Lemure Chatos. It might be that it's only the limbs of the Ola that will take precedence over the innards of the Chatos. Aval Dam Oilo Lo. But the blood of an Ola would not take precedence over the Emure Chatos, and rather the Emure Chatos would come before the Dam Ola. So, if you compare the write-ins that we have provided between the lines here and two lines above, if you were to learn from the resha, from the earlier citation, you would have come out saying the dam ola comes before the emure chatos. If you emphasize the inference from the seifa, like we just did, you come out with the opposite, that the emure chatos come before the dam ola. Elo meha leko lemashma mina. The Gemara says that from here, from the citations of our Mishnah, we cannot conclude anything. Ibaya laho. Dam oila vidam osham eze mehen kodem. So you have two items here. These are, like the question before, were not dealt with explicitly in the Mishnah. This was not in the list of competitive elements that we saw in the Mishnah. So what is the halacha? You have the blood of an ola and the blood of an osham, which should come first. And once again, the Gemara will give you two sides to this particular issue. Before we go further in the Gemara, let us read over the Gemara from the first triangle and read over till this point in the Gemara, just to make sure that we didn't skip any points. So we're picking up the Gemara back. We're backing up to the first triangle. Ibaya laho dam chatos veivore oila eze mehem koidem. For the blood of a chatos and the limbs of an ola, which come first? Dam chatos koidem mipnei shemiratze. Do we say that the blood of the chatos should take precedence over the limbs of an ola, because the blood of the chatos atones? O dilma evorei ola kodmim mipnei shehein kolu leishim, or that the limbs of the ola should take precedence because they are completely burnt? Toshma dam chatos koidem ledam ola. The Mishnah says that the blood of the chatos comes before the blood of the ola. So when is it that the dam comes before the what aspect of chatos comes before ola? The blood of the chatos. Ledam ola hu dekodim leevore ola lo kodim. We could argue from this citation of the Mishnah that the dam of the chatos comes before the blood of the ola, but it won't come before the limbs of an Ola. So rather, the Evorim of the Ola would come before the blood of the Chatas. Adarabba, well, we could say just the opposite. Misefa, Evore Ola Kodmin Liemure Chatos. From the Seifa citation, we'll come out with an opposite conclusion. Liemure Chatos Hu de Kodim. We say that the Evore Ola come before the innards of the Chatos. However, Lidam Chatos Lo Kodim. But the limbs of an Ola will not come before the blood of the Chatos. Rather, the dam will come before the Evorim. So, if you compare the write-ins that we have here and two lines above, the conclusion was that the Evorim of the Ola would come before the dam of the Chatos. At this point, we would be concluding that the dam of the Chatos would come before the Evorim of the Ola. Elo meho leko lemashma mino. So we see that from this Mishnah and the inferences from the Reish and Seifa, we cannot come to something conclusive. Ibayalaho, dam oilo v'emurei chatos eize mehen koidem. Dam oilo koidem deka'osi mikoyach kolil. Do we say that the blood of the Ola comes before the innards of the chatos because the blood of the Ola comes from an example of something that's completely burnt, namely the Ola. The limbs, the entire body of the Ola is completely burnt. Therefore, that special feature would extend to the blood of the Ola as well when it is confronting the Emurei Chatos. Oy Dilma. Or maybe we would suggest that Emurei Chatos Kodmin the Kasi Mikoyach Mechaper. Maybe the innards of the Chatos should come before the blood of the Ola, because the innards of the Chatos come from a sacrifice that's designed to offer atonement. Toshma. So let's see, and we'll follow the same style of proof that we tried before, which will result in no conclusion. And you can see this already ahead of time from the markings when you focus on the dashed underline, where it says, Mehol leko lamashmina. But in the meantime, let's give it a try. So from the first wide line in the middle, Toshma, Dam chatos kodim ledam oilo. And we infer, Dam chatos hu de kodim ledam ola. It's the blood of the chatos that comes before the blood of the ola. Avo emure chatos lo. But the innards of the chatos would not come before the dam of the ola. So at this point, we've written in between the lines that elo dam ola kodim lemure chatos. That would be the conclusion from the inference drawn from this section of the Mishnah. Adarabba, to the contrary, misefa. If you learn the seifa and draw an inference from that, you'll come out with an opposite conclusion. Evori oilo koimin leimurei chatos. The Mishnah declared that the limbs of an olo come before the innards of a chatos. Evori olo hu dekadmi leimurei chatos avodam oilo lo. It might be argued that only the limbs of an Ola come before the innards of the Chatos, but the blood of the Ola would not come before the innards of the Chatos. And rather, and we've written in the conclusion here, that Elo Emure Chatos Kod Miladam Ola, we've written between the lines. So if you compare these two write-ins here and two lines up, you'll notice that we come out with opposite conclusions. Elo Meho Leko Lamashminov. Rather, from here, there is nothing to conclude. We're now at our third triangle, third question. Ibayalaho dam oilo vidam osham eze mehen koidem. The blood of an ola needs to be sprinkled, and the blood of an osham sacrifice needs to be sprinkled. Which should be done first? And again, we have an aleph odilma beis presentation. Dam oilo koidem dekosi mikoyach kolil. Do we give precedence to the blood of the ola insofar as it comes from a sacrifice that's kulo kolil, that's completely burnt? Oidilma dam osham koidem de mechaper. Or we should give precedence to the blood of the osham insofar that it is a korban that comes for atonement purposes. As we go on, we notice a new marking, a house form, and it will appear in two different directions in the next few lines. This is explaining the outside margin, hoichochois bekivunim hafuchim, proofs in opposite directions. the style of this Gemara will not be exactly the same as before, because in this case, as you can see, there's we're, with the lack of the dashed underline, this will come out with a conclusive response as opposed to the first two triangled questions. So let's go on, remembering we're dealing right now with two kinds of bloods, Ola versus Oshem, which comes first. Toshma, we are looking at the Toshma with the house point facing up. Dam chatos kodem ledam oila. A dam chatos comes before dam ola. That what is it that comes before dam ola? The dam of a chatos. Avol dam osham lo. But we would say that when it, that the dam osham would not come before the ola. Rather, the ola will come first. The Gemara rejects this and says, "Bedin hu the iboy lemisni dam osham." In truth, the Mishnah should have taught that the dam osham as well comes before the dam ola. The aidi debo misni seifa, but since the Mishnah had a separate agenda, it wanted to teach the seifa where it says evorei oila koidmin leemurei chatos. The limbs of an ola are to be done before the innards of the chatos. The itana le'emurei osham, had the Mishnah taught, let us say, evare ola come before emurei osham, in other words, had the Mishnah focused on the ola osham contest, I would have come out with an incorrect conclusion. Hava amina, I would have thought that the emurei osham hu dekadmi, that only with regard to the emurei osham would the evorei ola come first. The emurei chatos lo kadmi, but I would have erroneously thought that the evorei ola would not come before emurei chatos. Mishum hachi tana chatos. Because of this consideration, the Mishnah focused on the chatos in order that we wouldn't come out with a mistaken conclusion regarding the issue of innards versus limbs, and rather understand that even the with regard to the emurei chatos, the evorei ola will take precedence. Toshma? So let us try again, and as opposed to the first approach, which wanted to conclude that the ola will come before the osham, let's see what we have now. Toshma chatos kodem l'osham. Chatos hu dekodmo le l'osham. Avol oilo lo. A chatos comes before an osham, but an ola would not. Rather, the osham would come first. Notice, with that which we've written in between the lines, you can see how the conclusion at this point, we're in the middle, of course, of a discussion, but the conclusion from this Toshma is the opposite of the conclusion from the previous Toshma. In the previous Toshma, we wanted to conclude that an Ola would come before the Osham, and here we're trying to conclude that the Osham would come before the Ola. The Gemara goes on and says that, well, what we just said, that a chatos comes before an osham, but an ola would not come before the osham. Rather, the osham would come first. My love, Dom, are we not talking about our case, the case of the blood? And we would conclude that the osham should come first. Loi, not true. A'imurim. We are talking about innards. And when the Mishnah says chatos kodem l'osham, we're talking about the innards of the chatos coming before the osham. Deko nami, through careful reading of the Mishnah, you can in fact see that we're talking about innards. Dekotoni b'pnei shedomo nitan shma mino. It says that its blood was already given, was already applied. So that, therefore, we're not talking about the blood. The blood was already given. Therefore, we're talking about the innards. As a result of that, so we don't have an answer to the original question number three, which was Dam Oila versus Dam Osham, because what we thought we would use as a conclusion is in fact not talking about the blood, but talking about the innards. So, in a sense, that which we said before, we have to be a little more accurate. Just like questions 1 and 2 ended up being inconclusive, but they were inconclusive as a result of the opposite inferences drawn from each point. Therefore, we couldn't rely on that style. Here, too, we don't come to a conclusion, but we'll say stylistically for different reasons. But all the same, the third question as well remains unresolved. Chatos kodemes la'asham. Before we go further in the Gemara, let's take note of that which we've included on the side, our mivneh heading. You see diamonds. The diamonds you'll find around the word adarabo. As you scan ahead all the way till Tzadi Omid Aleph, you'll notice that adarabo is a word meaning, indicating, well, why not just argue, why not say the opposite? You can say just the opposite. So what this represents, we've written in Hatzos Hafuchois Mimashi Kotoni B'Mishnah, suggest opposite suggestions to that which the Mishnah teaches. We'll see as we go along the way the use of a double underline, another one of our series markings, where the expression Afilu Hochi is highlighted. These represent dechios, rejections of these suggestions. Chatos kodemes la'osham. That was stated in the Mishnah, that the chatos, sin offering, comes before the osham offering. Adarabba, osham kodim, shekein yesh lo kitzva. Could it not be argued that the osham should take precedence over a chatos, insofar as that the osham has a fixed price to it? Two pieces of silver must be the cost of the osham, and the chatos, though, can be brought at any cost, even a minimum cost. Afilu hochi, but even so, riboy de mizbeach odif. The fact that the chatos has more blood application done to the to it than, namely, blood application of the chatos done to the mizbeach is greater than the amount of blood application done in the case of the osham. Osham koidim letoido, and it also said the el nazir. The osham takes precedence over these korbanos. Adarabba, ha toido v'el nazir kadmi shekein tunin lechem. Could we not suggest that the toid and el nazir should come before the osham insofar as they have accompanying loaves, whereas the osham does not? The Gemara says, but afilu hachi, but even so, kodshe kodshim adifi. The fact that the osham is classified as higher level sanctity, that gives it greater significance. Toido v'el nazir, it said in the Mishnah, koidmin l'shlomim. They come before the shlomim. Adarava, shlomim kadmi. Could we not suggest that the shlomim should be dealt with first? Shekein yeshnon b'tzibur k'biyochid. In the case of shlomim, we have kibsei atzeres, an example of a korban shlomim that's done, that's brought by the public, the tzibur. Just like a yochid brings korban shlomims as well. And this is not the case. There is no public toido or el nazir. The Gemara rejects that, though. Afilu hachi necholim liyumechot adifi. The restriction in time for eating them gives greater significance to the toda and el nazir, which have only one day in which to be consumed, giving it greater significance or precedence over the shlomim. Ibaya lahoy. Here we have a question, like we saw above with our triangles, questions of precedence. Here a question is raised. Toda v'el nazir. Let us say of these two kinds of korbanos, a toda versus an el nazir. In the Mishnah, we didn't see them pitted off against each other. We saw them lumped together or connected versus a shlomim. But what about one against the other? Toda versus el nazir. Ezemehem koidem. And to this we have two sides of the question. Toda kodmo shekein tuna dalid mineach. Maybe the toda should be dealt with first because it has four different types of loaves that are brought along with it. O dilma el nazir koidem shekein yesh imoi domim achirim. Or maybe the El Nozir should be given precedence because of the fact that when a Nozir brings a korban, he doesn't bring just one korban, he brings domim achirim, other korbanos. Domim literally means blood, but it's the blood that's sprinkled from other korbanos as well. He, a Nozir, brings, in addition to the El Nozir, he brings an ola and a chatos. So maybe the fact that the El Nozir is part of a group of korbanos that the Nozir brings gives it greater significance. Ta shma, so the Gemara provides a Tanaic source which will resolve this question. Zu kedemes lezu, the Toida comes before the El Nozir. Shezutuna dalid min elechem, the Toida has a requirement of four different types of loaves. Vezu einatuno elo shnei min elechem, and the El Nozir, when he brings his ayol, his korban shlamim, he brings only two types of loaves along with it. Hashlomim kodmim lebuchar. The shlomim takes precedence over the bechor, insofar as because of the fact that the shlomim has matan dalid smicha, and it has nesachim, and it has a tenufas chazav v'shoik. Adarabo bechor kodem. Maybe we should give precedence to the bechor shekein kedushaso mirechem v'nechal lekehanim. Its sanctity is derived or is achieved at birth. It doesn't, from the Torah standpoint, it becomes sanctified automatically upon birth, and it's eaten by a limited population, by the kehanim alone. So maybe that grants it greater significance than the shlomim. Someone says no. Afilu hachi mitzvos yiseirois adifi. But nevertheless, we give greater weight to the shlomim, and it will take primacy over the bechor, because the shlomim has additional mitzvahs that are associated with it. As we mentioned, the shlomim, there is a more extensive blood application, there's a tenufas chazav v'shoik, there's smicha, there's nesachim, which don't exist in the case of the bechor. Habechor, kodem, it comes before the Meiser Behema. Adarabba, Meiser Kodem, Shekein Mekadesh Lefanov Ulachrov. Maybe Meiser Behema has greater significance insofar as that there is a possibility, albeit through a mistake, that not only the tenth animal becomes sanctified, but the ninth and 11th animals could become sanctified as well. That's a result of a miscounting. But nevertheless, in the realm of Meiser Behema, we see that in general, the procedure was that you take all of the new births of any given year of animals, and they're passed through a narrow passageway, and you count them off, 1, 2, 3, and the number 10 you label as the Meiser Behema. However, if as the animals are passing through the narrow passageway, you're counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and then when the ninth animal comes out, you, instead of saying 9, you said 10. And likewise, when the 11th animal came out, you declare it to be 10. So the declaration of 10 on number 9 and number 11 have a binding significance to it. And they can become... they become sanctified as a result of your mistake. That's what we're referring to here in the Gemara when it says that it's Mekadesh Lefanov Lachrov. So maybe that gives the realm of Meiser Behema greater significance over the Bechor. The Gemara says no. Afilu Hachi Kedusha Meirechem Adifa. But nevertheless, we give greater emphasis to the fact that it's Kadosh upon birth. Its sanctity is achieved at birth. That's in the case of the Bechor. Meiser kodem le'oifos. We said the Meiser Behema comes before the Ofos. The Mishnah says, Meishu zevach v'yesh boi kodshei kodesh kodoshim the doma ve'imurim. The Mishnah declared that the Meiser Behema comes before Ofos in so far as the fact that it's a zevach, it's slaughtered with a knife, and it has in it Kodesh Kodoshim, and that is the reference to the blood and its innards. Adarabba, Oifois Kadmi Shekein Kodshei Kodshim. why not say that ofos come before Maiser Behema in so far as the fact that the ofos are kotshe kotshim, whereas the Maiser Behema, the basic korban, is not kotshe kotshim. It's true that the innards and the blood are kotshe kotshim, but the basic korban is a Maiser Behema, the meat, is treated as kotshim kalim, lower level sanctity. So why is it that the Maiser Behema takes precedence over the ofos? Afilu hachi min zevach odif. But nevertheless, even so, Maiser Behema is an animal which is slaughtered with a knife. That's called min zevach, and that gives it greater significance than the oaf offerings, which are done, processed without knife, but rather through malika, the thumbnail of the kohen severing the bird's head. At this point in the Gemara, we encounter a rather long bracketed section. This carries over till the upper part of Tzadi Omid Aleph. You'll notice that the diamonds pick up afterwards on the upper part of Tzadi Omid Aleph, which in fact is where the Gemara picks up the issue of alternative suggestions or opposite suggestions to that which the Mishnah taught. However, till we get to that point, we have a bracketed section. This is explained in the inside margin. Actually, before we look at that, we can just notice the topic heading on the outside margin, the Nosei, Lefi Ravina Bar Shilo, according to Ravina Bar Shilo, whose name is circled in the Gemara, Emure Kotshim Kalim Shiyotsu Lefnei Zrik Azdomim Psulim, the innards of Kotshe Kalim that leave the Azora before the blood is sprinkled become unfit, they become disqualified. Which would, on a practical basis, mean that even once the blood is sprinkled, these emurim you could not offer on the altar anymore, because they left the azora before the zrikas dam took place. Our note on the inside margin, where you notice the star, explains the presence of these brackets. Achrei hasugraim, we've written, after the bracketed section, the Gemara will proceed to continue giving opposite or alternative suggestions to that which the Mishnah taught. Within the bracket section, Muva Sugya Beinyan Emure Kotche Kotchim Kalim, Shiyatsu Lifnei Zrika, the Lefiravina Bar Shilo Psulim. He suggests that these emurim of the kotshim kalim that left before zrikas dam become posel, and he brings a proof to that from our Mishnah. The Gemara continues, and we will be reading now in the bracketed section because of the fact that we know ahead of time what the Gemara will do after the brackets. Omar Ravina Bar Shilo, Emure Kotshim Kalim, Shiyotsu Lifnei Zrikas Domim Psulim. It might be noteworthy that we've dealt with Emure Kotshim Kalim on Daf Pehe, where Ula mentioned that Emure Kotshim Kalim that were brought onto the Mizbeach before Zrikas Dam do not go down, are not taken off. But here, we're talking about another aspect of the Emure Kotshim Kalim before Zrikas Dam. In this case, we're talking about those Emurim left the Azora. So, the Gemara continues, Omar Ravina Bar Shilo, Emure Kotshim Kalim, Shiyotsu Lifnei Zrikas Domim Psulim. The word Psulim is explained by Rashi, V'afagav dilin mi'ila lefnei zrikas domim lo kadishi, that even though, with regard to mi'ila, the prohibition of benefiting from sanctified items, that prohibition and violation known as mi'ila does not set in or set upon these innards prior to this blood sprinkling, nevertheless the inyan of sulbi yotze, however, with regard to their sensitivity to becoming disqualified through exiting the Azora, kotshe kotshim ninhu. Even though it's prior to the Zrikas Dam, they nevertheless have a kotshe kotshim status, which which makes them susceptible to disqualification as a result of exiting the Azorah. Vitana Tuna, the Gemara continues and says that our Mishnah supports Ravina Bar Shilo. It says, Mipnei Shehu, Shehu Zevach, a reference to the Meiser Behema. The Meiser Behema takes precedence over the Ophos because it, the Meiser Behema, is a Zevach, Yeshno Kotche, Kotchim, Doma V'Emurav. It has the Kotche, Kotchim aspect to it, Dom and Emurim. In other words, we're trying to say that the Dom and Emurim facet of the Meiser Behema gives it greater significance than the Ophos. That's what it would seem at first glance. The Gemara goes on, focusing on the Mishnah, and says, Bishlamo Emurim Les Nedofos. Fine, with regard to the innards, that is an aspect that the Meiser Behema has that the Ophos don't have. So that can be cited as a reason for giving precedence to the Meiser Behema over Ophos. Elodam miha isei, but blood there is by the birds also. So why was the Mishnah citing the blood aspect of the Meiser Behema as a sign of significance over Ophos when Ophos have that aspect, that characteristic as well? Rather, the Mishnah had a different or a separate agenda, and it wanted to teach me the following. The Emurim ki domo, that the Emurim are halachically or legally viewed as the blood. Ma domoi lifnei zrika, just like the blood by definition is present before it has been sprinkled. Af emurim koidim zrika, so to the emurim featured over here are emurim before the sprinkling. V'kakori lahu kodshe kodshim, and the Mishnah refers to those emurim, namely the emurim prior to zrikas adam, are labeled kodshe kodshim. And once we know that, we apply now a second halacha. Uma domo nifsa b'yotzei. And just like we know that blood that leaves the azora is rendered unqualified, or is disqualified, af emurim mifsal piyotzi. So too, the innards of the meiser behem, which is a kochim kalim, the innards, because they are labeled koche kochim, will become disqualified through Yotze, through exiting. We've dashed underlined this, Afimu Mifsal B'Yotze, because this is the point that would support Ravina Bar Shilo. And we've also, when he made his original comment, we've also dashed underlined word psulim. Nemo Misayale, can we say that the following supports Ravina Bar Shilo? Basar kochim kalim shiyotza lifnei zrikas domim. The meat of kochim kalim, the meat is going to be presented in contrast to the innards, but for the meantime, we will see regarding the meat, there is a controversy between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. However, the Gemara will try to infer that their whole controversy revolves around the meat. But with regard to the innards, there would be agreement. So we want to say that through the following piece of Gemara, we will be able to support, legally support, Ravina Bar Shilo through the shittas of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. So let us see what Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish themselves talk about. They speak about the meat of Kochim Kalim, Shiyotza Lifnei Zrikas Domim, that left the Azorah before the sprinkling. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kosher, Rabbi Yochanan says the meat is not affected by its departure from the Azorah. Since we're dealing with Kochim Kalim, low-level sanctity sacrifices in general can be eaten in all of Yerushalayim, and they're not limited to the Azorah. However, that's fine and good after the blood has been sprinkled. Right now, we're talking about the meat prior to the sprinkling. Rabbi Yochanan says, even though it's prior to the sprinkling, the fact that the meat departed, left the Azorah, does not render it unfit. Reish Lakish Amar Posel. Reish Lakish says that the meat does become disqualified and rendered unfit. Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara now goes over these shitas. Rabbi Yochanan, a kosher, hoyel v'soif elotze, since it's going to leave anyway, so even though it left prematurely, it remains acceptable and can be eaten. Reish Lakish Amar Posel, the meat upon leaving the Azora, even though it's Kochim Kalim, but it left before the Zrikas Dam, is disqualified or rendered unfit. Adayin lo higiyaz mano lotzeis. Its time for leaving has not yet arrived because you haven't done this sprinkling. Ad kan lo pligi el b'boser. Up to this point, though, the whole machlokes b'yochan reish lakish concerns the meat. Avol be'emurim lo, but there is no controversy. It would seem that there's no controversy surrounding the emurim, and only in the case of Bosser would Rabbi Yochanan machshir because of its sofolotzeis aspect, that its eventuality of leaving. But emurim are not don't leave the azara. Emurim stay in the azara to be put on the mizbeach, on the altar. So at this point, we would have a support to the Shita of Ravina Bar Shilo from Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. The Gemara rejects this. Hu hadin de Emurim pligi. The Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish would extend to the Emurim as well, and Rabbi Yochanan would be Machshir, a Emurim that left before Zrika Saddam, which would not be favorable for Ravina Bar Shilo. The ha de kamiflagi b'basar, and the fact that the machlokas, the controversy between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish revolved around the meat, that was lahodiach hakoychoi de Reish Lakish, to show us how far Reish Lakish goes. The afilu basar the soifa lotzeis, even though the meat eventually will leave the azara, Amrinon, nevertheless, we will argue, Adayin lohi yazmano lotzeis, since its time has not yet arrived to leave, Reish Lakish will tell us it, the meat, even the meat, becomes posel. The Gemara at this point raises a question, lema ketanoi. Can we say that this issue, the issue of the Emurim leaving before Zrikas Hadam, is a machlokes tanoim? So we'll notice with our markings that it's a long question, and it goes till the upper part, the fifth line from the top of Tzadi Omet Aleph. The source says, Emurei kochim kalim shiyotsu lifnei zrikas domim. The innards of kochim kalim, which is the topic we're dealing with, left the azora before the blood sprinkling. Rabbi Elazar omer ein moalin bohen. There, Rabbi Elazar says that there is no me'ila on them. The ein chayovan alem ishum pigul noiser v'tome, and there, if there is no guilt of pigul, the incorrect mind thought, mindset regarding time and place, no sir, if it's left over or tome, or if a kohen, or if a person, betumas aguf, were to eat from them, there would be no violation. Rabbi Kiva omer, moalin bohen, v'chayav lam yishum pigul nosu v'tome. Rabbi Kiva says that regarding these emurei kochim kalim that left before the zrikas dam, there is me'ila violation. In other words, he sees them as having the kochim status. It may be pointed out that in order to achieve their respective levels of kedusha, or their high, their to be for these emurim, which come from a kochim kalim animal, kochim kalim, basic, generally speaking, does not carry with it a me'ila prohibition. Only with regard to the emurim can one begin to talk about a me'ila prohibition. That, in general, is assumed to be only after the Zrika Saddam takes place. What we're confronted with right now is a Emurei Kochim Kalim that left the Azora before the Zrika Saddam took place. So according to Rebbe Lozer, they're rendered unfit, or they're rendered disqualified. Hence, they cannot become subject to these particular these particular offenses will not become applicable to them. Rabbi Akiva, on the other hand, does not see the departure as rending, as disqualifying them. My lav b'dahadar aylinhu pligi. Are we not to assume that the machlokis that we just learned about, Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Akiva, concerns innards that left the Azara and were brought back into the Azara and were in the Azara at the time of the Zrika Saddam? Ubaha pligi. The more sova Rabbi Lozer holds mifsali biyotzei, that they became disqualified upon their initial exit from the Azara. And the subsequent Zrikas Adam that's done for these Emurim, even though the Emurim were brought back into the Azara prior to the Zrikas Adam, it doesn't have any effect. Hence, they will not become subject to Me'ilah, and the other offenses won't apply either. Umor Sovar, Rabbi Akiva holds, Lo Mifsalibios, the fact that they were taken out of the Azara does not disqualify them. If we were to pause here, we would then come out saying that the concept that Ravina Bar Shilo introduced, or the halach of his, the Emurei Kochim Kalin that left before Zrikas Dam, have become disqualified, he would be in line with Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Kiva would disagree, and hence we would have what we just suggested in the Gemara, that his halacha, the Ravina Bar Shilo's halacha, is a machlokes tanoim. As you can see, that's the end of the long question. Omar Rav Papa. Rav Papa says otherwise. He says, B'dahodar aylinhu kule alma loi pligi. If the innards that had exited the Azor were brought back in prior to the Zrikas Adam, everyone would agree that they do not become posel b'yotzei. And that the Zrika would be effective. The Zrika would elevate the innards of the Kachim Kalim to become subject to Mi'ilah, and the other problems would set in as well, Pigul Noser and Tomei. And Ravina Bar Shila would be without support from these particular Tanoim, because he wanted to say that once the Emurim are taken out, they become disqualified. The ha-ha, here in the controversy between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, b'de isnuhu avroi pligi, the innards remained outside of the Azara at the time of the Zrikas Adam. Ubaha pligi, and in the following, they argue, t'mor savar ein zrika me'elas liyotzei, Rabbi Eliezer would hold that zrika is ineffective for something that's outside of the Azara. Umor sava zrika me'elas liyotzei, and Rabbi Kiva would say that zrika is effective even for something outside the Azara. The Gemara asks, how could Rav Papa offer this analysis? V'ha Rav Papa hu di Omar, Rav Papa has been known to say in Maseches Menachos, in a different Gemara, he has been recorded as saying that b'de'isnehu avroi kule almo loy pligi. When it's outside, notice with our dashed underlines, what did we say before that avroi pligi under Rav Papa's teaching, and here under Rav Papa's teaching, avroi kulema lo pligi. Rav Papa there in Menachos taught that when you have items outside of the Azara at the time of Zrika Saddam, everyone agrees that the Zrika is ineffective. B'da'ilinu l'gavoi pligi. Only when the questionable item is brought back into the Azara is there a controversy. The Gemara answers, no problem. Hani mili gabi shtei halechem. Rav Papa's comment in Maseches Menachos concerns the slaughtering of the Kivsei Atzeres. It's a Shavuos sacrifice, that the slaughtering and the sprinkling of the blood will not be matir the shtei halechem, the two loaves that are brought on Shavuos, when the two loaves are outside the Azara. There, everyone will agree that the Zrikas Adam is ineffective. Why? The lav gufe de zivchahu. The bread is not part of the animal itself, the animal from whom the blood is being sprinkled. Therefore, if the bread is outside, the sprinkling according to everyone will be ineffective. Aval emurim, but when it comes to the innards of the kotshem kalim, the gufe de zivchahu that come from the animal itself, the is nehu avroi pligi. When the limbs are, when the innards are outside, since it's degufei dezivcha, here you will have a machlokis, and you will have an opinion, namely that of Rabbi Akiva, that even though the limbs are outside, the innards are outside, the zrika could be effective. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.